on Facebook, feel free to be able to do so as well. We're in a brand new series called Swag House on how to bring the it back into your family and your parenting and into your life. And what I found out about every message series, no matter who or what it's geared towards, every single person gets something out of it. Have you ever found that to be true? So the message could be on something completely remote from you, but because the Holy Spirit worked, it starts working into your own heart and your life. And so I'm going to pray in just a moment that God would bless this message and be brought back into a strong reality where God has you today and where God wants to bless your life. Heavenly Father, what an awesome privilege this is to be with each person here, Father. We thank you for this privilege and this honor to serve you and worship you, Father, to take the offering in just a moment here, Father, so making that ready, Father. We thank you for the privilege to bring back to you the first, Father, to bring back to you, Father, the tithe, the offerings. Father, you brought your first to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, so we can't outgive you. And then you give us the resources to bring back a small portion to you and your work to show you that we realize who started it all, who's given the most. And Father, we thank you for each person here. We praise you and bless you for what you're going to do in our services. In Jesus' name, amen and amen right there. Hey, while they're serving you the offering right now, I do want to tell you, one of the great ministries of our church is Celebrate Recovery. And it's tonight at 5 o'clock. It's on how to help you with your hurts and your hang-ups, and to be able to how to help you become the person that God created you to be. It's one of the ministries that we offer at Christ Fellowship. I want you to see just a little bit about what God's doing to Celebrate Recovery. Watch this with me.
Before Sierra, I had a lot of anger. I had a lot of rage. I didn't understand why. I was very depressed. Felt like giving up in life, and just basically gave up on myself.
Before CR, I was a 17-year drug addict hooked on speed, 7 years of my adult life spent in prison.
I was at rock bottom. I had nowhere else to turn. Everything I had tried, keyword I, had failed.
Through CR, God has resurrected a marriage that was dead.
It's not just a meeting you go to. It's working it, it's feeling it, and it's growing in it.
It has strengthened my faith. It has given me a toolbox to learn how to live life on God's terms.
I'm no longer a hate monger. I love everybody. I'm clean and sober for 4.5 years. I'm involved in other people's recovery.
I'm healing from something that was with me for 30 years, and I feel freer from it. And I feel hopeful and that I'm going to help others with this.
You don't have to struggle alone. There's a place where you can reach out and ask for help, and you will receive it with love and acceptance.
You're not alone. There are people out there just like you that want and need to work through their issues with you that can help. God's there for you. It's an amazing program.
To the voice, to the light in the mirror, saying you can't ever change. To the guilt that's sitting on your shoulder, always keeping you wrapped in chains. To the past that you can't undo, to the pain that you're walking through, to the small and the big mistakes, this is what love wants to say.
That's good stuff right there. Starts tonight at 5 o'clock in Building C. You're not going to miss being a part of Celebrate Recovery tonight at 5 o'clock. Hey, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We're in a brand new message series starting today called Swag House. Can you say Swag House? Yeah, it's on how God brings courage back into your life, your family, into your parenting. You know, what we have found over and over and over again, as I've counseled hundreds of families, is that most people are confused about what a man's supposed to be, what a wife is supposed to be, and what a family's supposed to be. We're confused about the role that kids should play in our home and our house, and as a result, many times we make it up as we go, or we borrow ideas from other people that really have never worked quite for them as well. It's what Squack House is designed to do. It brings back to the design for a home, a peaceful home, a home of harmony, a home where every person is living out this specific design and the role that God has placed for them. Many times we look at families and we ourselves kind of look at a mentor or a model, and many times we don't really understand whether it's worked for them in their lives or not, but we try it ourselves. And then 5, 10, 15 months into that, or maybe even 5 or 10 or 15 years into that, we realize that things aren't quite working the way that we felt like that they would work. You know, as I mentioned before, no matter what message series we have, God has something in it for you. If you're a single lady without kids today, I can tell you that Swag House is going to help you understand God's design for your life, but also the design for the kind of men that you should admire. And then if you're a single mom with kids, I can tell you that Swag House is going to help you walk through the understanding of the kind of men that you're going to want to be able to mentor and influence and impact your kids. One of the big deals that we do at Christ Fellowship is we try to be able to have men, strong men, godly men, invest in every sphere of our ministry. We have found that most ladies tend to be more spiritually inclined than us men. And so we have to kind of spend more time with us guys to be able to do that. We do that through a small group mentoring and discipleship groups with men. We have that with ladies and with couples throughout the week. But we try to do that with men specifically because we realize that most men need somebody to be able to help them take that next step in their spiritual journey. Somebody to be able to help outline for them what a man's supposed to be, what a dad's supposed to be. And so we have men's groups that meet on Wednesday nights. I have a men's group that meets on Wednesday nights. We have couples groups. The Rubios oversee a marriage, a seminar that meets on Wednesday nights. And Scott and Heather Thompson oversee another class on how to help you understand the gospel and how God's sanctification process in your life. But one of the reasons why we spend so much time with men is because we believe that inherent within each home is untapped potential. Are men that really desire to be more than they could be, but really don't quite understand how to be what God designed them to be. They feel ill-equipped to be able to do what God originally designed for them to do. And so over the next few weeks, as we unpack this message series called Swag House, today we're going to be looking at the role of a man within the house. Next week, we're going to be looking at the role of the wife within the house. We're going to look at the couple weeks after that, of the role that God has for kids within the home. And if you're going to write down one word, one take home, one Facebook comment you can pop into it, is that most of us have been lied to when it comes to what makes a correct home. Most of us have not been told the truth. See, most of us, if we were to be able to just off the top of our minds ask what makes for a great home, most of us would probably say, well, love does. Of course, love. L-O-V-E, love does. But then, if you're in my shoes, if you have front court seats to a lot of counseling with a lot of couples, a lot of families, if love is what brings you into a marriage, then what happens when the love's gone? What happens when you're sitting face to face, eyeball to eyeball with a couple? They say, listen, we wish we did. We started off that way, but we just don't feel the love anymore. And so, you see, love is not actually the foundation for a great family. It's something much, much different than that. It's the word covenant. Covenant was established by God to redeem us back into relationship with God Himself. God sent His Son Jesus to be sacrificed ultimately to bring mankind back into relationship with God. It was the picture not only of the gospel and salvation, but also it is the picture as well of what a relationship and a home should be like. Is that God has come to redeem a couple, a man and woman, back into the design that God intended for them to be, to redeem the kids back into the design that God intended them to be. And in every In every covenant, there was a sacrifice. In every covenant, there was a sacrifice. There had to be. What they do during the early days is when they'd have a covenant, maybe you'd have a covenant with somebody, is you would they would kill a cow or a goat or something. They'd cut it, and the two parties would walk in between, signifying that your enemies are my enemies, and my assets are your assets, and what you have, I have, and what you have, I have. And the two were no longer individual units, but they were covenanting together and saying, we are one. And that's what marriage is. Under the authority of God, it is God coming into a family, into a relationship, and saying, listen, we are not going to be two distinct people that are going off two different distinct charts of how to live life, but we are one. God has put us together as one. And so covenant is the start and it's the foundation for every great relationship. Out of it flows love. If the love's not there and the covenant's kept, eventually the love comes back. And God established a covenant relationship in every single family. And as a result, God's plan is to bring it back to that relationship. You know, men, I don't know if you remember what it was to live life when you were in junior high. You remember that? The voice was changing at the most inappropriate time when you were talking to a girl. It never seemed to be able to come out right, the right kind of words. In my generation, feathered hair just never looked that too good. It was trying to be cool in junior high was an attempt that never worked on being cool. How many of you guys can remember that right there? Yeah, it's true for all guys in all generations is that junior high is a weird, odd, unusual time. It's a time of discomfort with who you are and a poor reflection of who you're created to be. It's a time where we go, listen, I wish I could take back the experiences and the hair and the music and the weirdness of coming into manhood. What I have found many, many, many times, and maybe you found this as well, is that many guys, in spite of what they want to be, still feel like they are in puberty and in junior highness when it comes to their manliness. That they feel like somebody wrote a book that was never handed out to them. They feel like there's some manual for marriage that they never quite were ever sent. Somehow there's something missing in their relationships and their marriage. In Ephesians chapter 5, God has a order. God has a design for every family. God starts with a man because in every covenant, there is a leader in that covenant. There is a head in the covenant. There's someone that takes the lead as a servant in that covenant. And in every home, it has been designed this way for Jesus to be able to take and be the head of every single home. Head with the big H. And then it's called and designed by God for every man to take the lead with a small H, to be the head with a small H. It's the idea that God has designed every single man to be able to be the servant leader in every home. But I want you to see the order that God has for us, because in Ephesians chapter 5, there's a plan that God has for every single man, and that is, it starts off with mutual submission. In fact, Ephesians 5:21, it says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. A man that knows how to submit to his wife and a wife that knows how to submit to man takes place like this. The man submits to his wife by showing her love, and the woman submits to her husband by showing him respect. Let me give that to you again. The man submits to his wife by showing her love, and the woman submits to her husband by showing him respect. In fact, you'll go on down to the very end of the chapter, it talks about that very thing, that the reality in Ephesians 5:21, how the order starts, how every great marriage, how every great family starts, is that it starts with great relationships that are coming out of understanding that God has redeemed each person in this home, and that God has established a man to take the lead. It starts with mutual submission. It starts with them submitting with each other. Now, here's the deal. If a woman does not find love in the home, she will always find it outside the home. She'll find it in a work. She'll find it in another relationship. She'll find it in a career. She'll find it in somebody or something. And if a man does not feel respect in the home, he will always drive himself outside the home. He'll find it in his work. He'll find it in the arms of another woman. He'll find it in somebody else to be able to redeem him back to feeling respected. When kids don't see respect and they don't see love in a home, they feel like the home is out of control. They feel like something's not right. And so as a result, when they feel insecure, when they feel like the home is not going exactly the way they thought it should go, when they don't see a dad respect and a mom love, when they don't feel that, they feel insecure. And when they feel insecure, I can tell you this, that they rebel, that they go into anarchy mode because that they are saying, listen, who is driving the boat around here? As a 13-year-old told me once, my mom's not driving the boat, my dad's not driving the boat, and he goes, it scares me that I am running the family, and I'm just 13. And I realized this kid, what he was crying out for, was for somebody to show respect and somebody to show love. And so that's what he says in Ephesians 5:21. He says, we're to submit one to another. That is the first order of business for God to bring harmony, to bring swag, to bring a sense of confidence, to bring a sense of love and harmony back in the home, that there's mutual submission, that there's a relationship here. See, when a man assumes responsibility, he resembles Christ. Jesus took what was not his fault and made it his responsibility. And when a man assumes the headship or the leadership of a home, he assumes the responsibility of teaching and helping his wife to be able to help her understand how he is respected, and then to be able to do whatever it takes to learn how she can be loved. Heather and I are very different. Heather is wired very differently than I am. And I'm wired very differently than Heather is. My love language is encouragement and it's food. It is. And specifically pies and specifically coconut cream pie. You know me well. I appreciate that. You know me well. So it's coconut cream pie. So if I were to pick up a coconut cream pie at Wright's Gourmet, you would say, and I were to go there, you know, and I were to bring her a coconut cream pie, she'd go, oh, a coconut cream pie, that's great, thanks, honey. Which, when she says it in that tone, thanks, honey, that means thank you, I love you, but you haven't loved me, you've loved you by thinking you're loving me, but you're not loving me, you're loving you by bringing the coconut cream pie. So I really know what's going on right here. So thanks, honey. That means I know what's going on. So anyway, no. If I want to love Heather, she's wired different. That's how I love. See, the problem is sometimes we love people the way we want to be loved. How Heather's love is very different. Heather's love by me coming home saying, hey, guess what? Randy and Laurel Barden are taking Gwenny out for ice cream. They're going to have her for 2 hours. You and I are going to go get coffee at an undisclosed location and talk for 2 hours. And I'm taking my phone and I'm turning it off. Oh, whoa, man. Oh, that sounds great. Oh, listen, let's go now. No, it's not 2 hours. No, let's go now. I mean, let's drop her off early. Maybe we'll just drop her off at the doorstep of the Bardens and she'll be okay. You know, I mean, that's how she's loved. She's loved with personal time with me. And so if we're not careful, we start loving people in a family relationship dynamic. We start submitting to each other with how we want to be loved, how we want to be respected, instead of, see, that's easy street to do it that way. It didn't cost us anything that way. It's too easy to be able to make that happen. And nothing's ever quite accomplished with it. And so Ephesians 5:21, he says, listen, I've called you into mutual submission. called you to be able to dig deep and to work hard to understand how to love and how to respect the other person. I want to give you the second thing that God outlines for an unbelievable home. Man, I want you to pay specifically attention because it comes down to responsible servant leadership. I want you to see right here in the scriptures, right here in Ephesians 5:22. It says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior." Notice verse 24. "Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to everything to their husbands." See, being head, it doesn't mean being a tyrant. It just means that you take the lead in serving. It means that you're responsible for being a protector. You're responsible for being the provider. You're responsible for being the promoter. You see, men, your goal in life is not to stay out of trouble. That is one boring dude that has that as a life goal. "I just want to stay out of trouble." No. Your goal is to take responsibility. Your goal is to go on the adventure of a lifetime as a man and be responsible in protecting and promoting and providing for your family. Your goal is to be able to make things happen. Your goal is to be able to set the pace in leading. It's not to be able to lead like your boss leads you. No, it's to lead like Jesus is leading you. And so every man has been called to this responsibility of servant leadership. You see, no one should out-compliment my wife other than me. No one should out-love Heather. No one should outlove my kids. No one should work more for them, care for more for them, spend more time with them, which means as a man, I have to reorder my priorities. It means I have to watch my TV consumption. It means I have to watch my schedule. It means I have to watch how I spend my money. It means I have to watch how I spend my day. It means that I don't have time to goof off. It means that I have everything in check so I can promote them, I can protect them, and I can provide for them. Does that make sense? And so as a result, every man has been called to be a servant leader. We have a responsibility. Listen, if Heather is constantly getting more compliments from another man than me, it means either I have to up my game or I have to take that dude out, one or the other. I may be doing prison ministry from the inside, if you know what I'm talking about. I mean, I'll take the guy out. But he said, nobody can trump you in that area, guys. That's the role of a servant leader. And you know what I found? I have found that most ladies, when they see this kind of man in play, this kind of man living life in their home, they don't have any check in their heart of thinking this guy's going to steamroll them. Just the opposite. This guy that has a covenant mindset says, listen, see, contracts are I'm setting up terms that are good for me, and you set up terms that are good for you, and we'll negotiate to make sure it's good for both of us. But that's not a covenant marriage. That's not a covenant home. That's not a covenant love. That's not a covenant relationship. No. This guy, this dude, this man, as broken and messed up and screwed up most of us guys are, we say, listen, as much as I don't quite get it at times, I am committed to sacrificing and giving my life for my wife, for my kids, for my family, for my house, regardless of whether it's my fault or not. It is my responsibility, regardless of what's going on. Like Christ love the church, like Christ sacrificed for the church, that's what I'm going to do. Ladies, do I have an amen? Yeah. It's a soft amen, but it's an amen. I'll take it right there. So here's the deal. What you and I have been called to, it's been called to mutual submission. What you and I have been called to is responsible men's servant leadership. We've been called to be able to do whatever it takes to be able to provide and protect and promote our wife and our kids and our family. Heard about this man, he had a fight with his wife. He told his wife, why did God make you so beautiful and so stupid? He said that at a very crazy time in his life, as he was talking to his wife, he couldn't believe he said it. She said to him, God made you so beautiful so you would be attracted to me, and God made me so stupid so I would be attracted to you. Here's the deal. When it's all said and done, guys, if we are going to take the lead with mutual submission, if we're going to take the lead as a servant leader, we need wives to be able to come encourage us and help us live out that role. You see, it is not one person's better than the other. No, 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 no. Genesis 1:26, it says that God has created every person, every man, every woman in his image. And so it is mutual submission. It is also a sense that there are different roles and therefore different responsibilities. And so we need our wives to be able to help check us at times right before we steer off the cliff, if you know what I'm saying. We need ladies that are saying, listen, I am honoring you as the leader, as the servant leader in our home, and I am willing to be able to do that. I'm willing also to pray that God would correct you if he needs to, if you're doing something that's taking us away from the things of God. But the reality is, I'm willing to be able to prayerfully submit to your encouragement and to your leadership. So sometimes, even if you can't respect the office, ladies, what you do respect is the fact that God has designed it this way and that God can reorder that person. I want to give you a third thing right here, though. Because, by the way, most marriages that you know don't get this. Most churches don't teach this. And the problem is that the divorce rate in the church is about the same as it is outside the church. Which means whether you're inside the church or outside the church, whatever your system is for marital harmony, whatever your system is for parenting, it's screwed up. It's not working. Whatever normal is, I don't want anything to do with normal. How about you? I want abnormal. I want opposite of whatever everybody else is trying that ends up with such a high divorce rate. I want the opposite of what everybody else is living out that's not getting divorced but wish they could get a divorce. Where they're suffering through a relationship year after year after year after year and are fearful when the kids leave the house what kind of relationship they will have. They are wondering what's going to take place. I don't want any part of what normal is. So God has a different design. It's not the design of your parents. It may not be the design of my parents. It may not be the design of what you see in magazines or on TV. You see, it's a different way, and it's mutual submission, and it's servant leadership. I want to give you a third thing. No, it is. It's sacrificial love. Notice, men, your responsibility in Ephesians 5:25. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You see, the need of you and I in Jesus was we were sinners. We could not save ourselves. We needed somebody that was perfect, that was holy, that had never sinned, to be able to give up his life willingly for your sins and my sins, to die on the cross for our sins, to be buried, to be risen again, and to purchase what we cannot purchase on our own, a place in heaven. And he offers it as a free gift. So Jesus came and met the ultimate need of my life and the ultimate need of your life. Jesus came and he says, listen, this is the standard for you guys. He says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You love your wife until she is more lovely. You don't shortcut relationships by getting with some other person. You say, listen, I'm not being respected. And so you prostitute yourself and somebody else by buying somebody a couple drinks and getting some type of relationship or enjoyment with them that you could get if you did the hard journey of working things out with your spouse. So many says, listen, you take the lead. It may not be your fault, but it is your responsibility. You take the lead, men. You do what is necessary. Most guys are wired like this. Most guys tend to be two things. We tend to be cultivators. We tend to want performance. We tend to want to tweak our cars, tweak our computers, tweak my wife's computer, tweak everything around us to get maximum performance. We tweak our kids' golf game. My daughter was swimming in a pool a couple days ago, and she was just playing around. And Heather said to me, Bruce, afterwards, you couldn't just let her play. I said, of course I was letting her play. She said, no, she had to do kicking exercises and bubble exercises while she was in the pool. And later on, I realized, that's right. I was trying to tweak her swim. I was already thinking of the 2026 Olympics or something like that. I was thinking of her future. And that's the reality. That's how us men are. The problem is we try to score points doing the wrong things. Things that might be good, but they never get our kids further down the field. They never get our kids relationally where they need to be. They never get our family exactly where God intended for them to be. And so we tend to be extremely cultivating, but we cultivate the wrong things. We spend so much time on things that are not eternal, on things that really don't matter. And so in Ephesians 5:21, he says, husbands, you love your wives. Christ gave himself for the church, and you spend time cultivating her. You spend time finding out what her needs are, how she's wired, helping her become who God created her to be. You spend time creating your kids into who God created them to be, helping them reach their potential. It's your responsibility. Life is cursed. From Adam to this point in life, life is cursed. Your car is cursed. Your AC at your house is cursed. Your carburetor is cursed. Everything in life is working against you, men. And what we try to do is we try to take the easy road and we try to opt out of our responsibilities. And so when you start working back into mutual submission into your life and your home and your family, when you start bringing back servant leadership, when you start bringing back sacrificial love and saying, you know what, I may have a poor golf game, I'm probably not making the PGA anytime soon, but I will not have a poor relationship with my kids. I will not play golf and keep from spending time and having a date night with my wife or a date day with my daughter. I might not get the next promotion, but I'm okay with that. I'm okay with cheating on the things that don't matter to be able to invest in the things that do matter. So you men, you cheat on your golf game. You cheat on your hobby. You cheat on the next promotion. Because they really don't matter when it comes to eternity. But what does matter is that wife. What does matter are those kids. And so what he says here is, he says, listen, you're loving them like Christ loved the church. He kept nothing for himself. Jesus kept nothing for himself. He surrendered it all on a cross for my sins and for your sins. And he says, listen, you cultivate kids and a wife and a family and a home, and it will take time. You see, when you move back into that, and there's resistance, there's resistance when you fix things, there's resistance with your car, there's a cursed tires, there's cursed things in your life, there are things that bring resistance. You know what that does for you guys? It builds great character in your life, because what that resistance does, it teaches you so plainly. You can bail, by the way. You can bail on your relationship with your wife, bail on your relationship with your kids, bail on your relationship with your home. But what the pressure does for us, God, what the resistance does for us, it teaches us the gospel. That we also resist against Jesus, our Savior. That we have rebelled against Him. And so every single time my little girl rebels against me, every single time Heather and I just can't quite meet eye to eye on things, when we have to grapple with things, we have to work it out, we have to pray through things, we have to talk through things. Every single time we're having to grapple with the difficulties of life, it's teaching me that I myself, Bruce Moore, have resisted the grace of God with my life. And so God has made life hard for men. And when you take responsibility for that and say, listen, God, you are going to have to be gracious to me as I move back into my area of responsibility, as I move back into the person that you created me to be. Because when He does that, He's picturing in front of you the gospel that God is gracious and He is redeeming and He is kind to people that have rebelled against Him. Does that make sense? That's what it is. And so here's the situation, guys. Is you ultimately spend the most time thinking, creatively, cultivating. You know, men are competitive too. We, by nature, like combat. I, the other day, watched a boxing match on TV. Heather said, well, what are you doing that for? What am I doing that for? Are you kidding me? You see, ladies, you're not built for combat. Now, you do it well, trust me, sometimes. But us guys, we relish in it. We like movies about it. I like MMA fights. I like all those kind of things. And most guys, we are made for combat. And the problem is, like, we cultivate the wrong things. Many times, we combat the wrong things. And what God's called you to combat, what God has called you to take down, what God has called you to persevere over and to take out are anything that is going to harm the harmony in your home. So anything, any person, any influence that needs boundaries, men, you set up the boundaries with your wife. You say, listen, I think this is going to eventually rob our relationship with each other. You know, one of the most difficult things I did, when Heather and I got married, we put boundaries up for her parents and we put boundaries up for my parents. I got godly parents and she does too. I got sweet, loving parents. My mom's with Jesus right now. I mean, my dad is a hero in my eyes, But they were used to Bruce as a single man, not Bruce as a married man. And we had to put boundaries in place. I had to put boundaries with my sister. I had to put boundaries with her family right there in order for us to be exactly what God intended for us to be. If that makes sense. And I had to combat influences. Listen, there were guys that I knew before I was married. There were close friends of mine that I knew I could not bring into a marriage. My buddies had never stopped thinking that we were in college. And so they would literally call me and say, hey, we're gonna be in Tampa at midnight on Friday night this weekend. I said, well, it is this weekend. It's Friday evening already. Well, later tonight, we're gonna be there. And they'd get there at 3 o'clock in the morning, maybe. Or they'd get there the next day. When I was single, when I was in college, when I was single, that was okay. Because if I got a little less sleep, that was fine. That was okay. But when I got married, my guest room wasn't available for those kind of guys any longer. One of the guys, after he didn't keep his word a couple different times, he calls and says, hey man, I'm coming into town. And I already had it set up. I said, man, Dave, that's great. I'd love for you to come. I'm looking forward to seeing you. man, you got that guest room ready? And I said, you know, actually, we upgraded you to the Holiday Inn Express down the street from our apartment. He's like, what? I can't stay in a house? I said, no, that's not going to work anymore. Come in at 3 o'clock in the morning, waking my wife, waking my baby. It's not going to work anymore. Well, I don't understand. The sex dries up after you leave, buddy. She's mad as a hornet. So we're not doing that anymore, if you know what I'm talking about. Do I have an amen, gentlemen? You know what I'm talking about. So here's the deal. So I had to put some boundaries. I couldn't allow guys to relate to me like that. I couldn't allow them to relate to Heather. I couldn't allow them to relate to my family. So I combated what was harming my home. And that's what a man does. That's what a man's responsible. That's part of the sacrificial love, the sacrificial service that happens when you and I are in place, in order, doing what God created us to be and doing what God created you to do. And listen, when that's not, you know what pops up? Kid CEO pops up. You ever met Kid CEO? It's a little 11-year-old that's running the entire household because mom and dad don't respect and love each other. And so the 11-year-old, he can run the household just fine. Whatever the 11-year-old wants to do, they'll do. You ever seen Kid CEO in a household? He pops up. Angry mom pops up when the dad's not taking control because she's angry, but she's not quite sure why she's angry. But she knows she's angry because something's incomplete in the house because she's not being loved. Adulterous dad pops up when this harmony's not here. Because when it's all said and done, he's not leading in the home. Therefore, he's not getting what he should be getting out of the relationship. Therefore, he just looks someplace else because it's easier to get it out there and pay a couple drinks than to be able to do the hard work to fight the battle, to work it out like nobody's business. So that's what happens. So men start abusing it, the responsibility. They start avoiding the responsibility. Listen, ladies, we'll talk about your role next week. You'll not want to miss being a part of it. But guys, if I can just say something to you right now, is we need men that are willing to man up. We need men that are willing to be able to be who God ordered and designed you to be. You say, well, listen, I don't know. I don't even know what my start is. Well, in every covenant, it starts with grace. God designed you and designed that relationship with grace. So God is already in the process right now of opening up opportunities to be able to help you become the man that God called you to be. And in fact, you're already at this service right here and already heard this message, and therefore you're already down the road quite a bit in understanding that. But we have mentors. We have some men in our church. I meet with some guys on Wednesday nights at 6:30. You're welcome to join us. We're studying how a man can lead his family, how to study the Bible for himself, how to lead the family. We have other classes on Wednesday night. We have a marriage class. It's phenomenal. I have another class on a life group understanding the gospel and God's sanctification process in our lives. We have groups that meet throughout the week that are co-ed groups. We have single groups. Listen, specifically for you men, though, we have men, though, that meet with men early in the morning. So you say, well, I get up pretty early. Not as early as some of these guys do. So you say, well, listen, I got to be on the road by 5 o'clock. Man, congratulations. That's great. We actually have a guy in our church that's willing to meet you at 4 a.m. for breakfast to help you learn how to become the person that God has intended for you to become. He said, well, listen, I get off work really late. Congratulations. That's great. Get off at 11, get off at midnight. I have a guy that's on standby, and he'll help at 1 o'clock in the morning. He'll meet with you to help you become the person that God intended for you to become. You see, we got it covered because we believe that if you set back in order mutual submission, you set back in order servant leadership, you set back in order sacrificial love, you put those things into play into your family, we believe some amazing things will happen. We believe your home will become swagalicious, is what we believe. We believe God will bring courage and blessings and destiny and direction right back into your family. Amen? Hey, listen. One of the greatest things I can tell you is that God loves you. And he loved you so much to bankrupt heaven and send his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. Jesus came. He died for your sins. He went through hell for you. He was buried for you and he rose again for you. And he purchased through his death and his burial and resurrection what your good works and my good works could never purchase on our own. He purchased for you and I a place in heaven. And he offers it as a free gift. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave you the right to become the children of God, even to those that believe on his name. And so I want to give you an opportunity, if I can, to call upon the name of Jesus this morning. I want to give you an opportunity in prayer just to bow with me. And prayer is nothing more than just speaking to God, just calling out to God and just saying, in your heart of hearts, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive the fact that you died on a cross for my sins. I invite you to come into my life. Jesus went through hell so you and I could go to heaven. Good people don't go to heaven. Bad people don't go to hell. It's only forgiven people that go to heaven. So would you receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ? Jesus, I don't deserve it, but I receive your forgiveness. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer and invited Christ to come in your heart, you said, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins. Come into my heart. Save my soul. You prayed a prayer like that. Lord Jesus, I receive you in my life. With heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody's looking around whatsoever. But if you pray that prayer, on a count of three, in just a moment, as you raise your hands, I got some friends who are going to bring by an orange card. You're going to place in your hand. And at the end of the service, you can redeem it for a free Bible to take the next step in your spiritual journey. I believe you're going to do it. I believe there's some of you that aren't quite sure where you'd spend eternity. And God loves you, and he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. Would you pray this prayer with me, not out loud, but in your heart of hearts? Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins. And come into my heart and save my soul. If that's your heart, if that's your prayer, I'm going to give that opportunity to just confess Jesus Christ as your Savior. Just on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. And we'll give you that redemption card for that free Bible. 1, 2, 3. Would you raise your hand with me? Yes, sir. That's a great decision. It's a great decision right here. Somebody else? Anybody else? Keep those hands up. So, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Come into my heart and save my soul. There's a lady right here. There's a man down here. Anybody else? For people like you and me that are far from perfect, that need a Savior because we're all sinners, Jesus came and he died. Anybody else? Listen, whether you raise your hand up and down again or not, people pray on either side. You pray for people in front of you and behind you. But if you pray this prayer for the first time you understood it, or a minute, whether you raise your hand up and down again or not, could you lock eyes with me just for a second? Can you look up here real quick? Listen, that's the most important decision you could ever make. The Bible says your sins are forgiven. Jesus says, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. He says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. Simply what that means is this. Is every single person that prayed invited Jesus Christ as their Savior, was willing at some point to confess Jesus as their Savior. And so I'm going to ask you to do something with me, not out loud, but I'm going to ask you in just a moment, as people are praying, I'm going to ask you to say, excuse me, I want to invite you to come to the front here. I want to give you an opportunity to be, by just you coming here, by confessing Jesus as your Savior. I want to pray a prayer blessing over you, and then you can go back to your seats. But if that's the heart, if that's the prayer that you make, if you pray that prayer, invite Christ to come in your heart, from the back, from the sides, it'll just take a second. But if that's the decision you made, nobody's looking around, but if that's the decision you made, I'm going to ask you to come on the count of three. One, two, three. Won't you come? Won't you come, ma'am? Sir, won't you come? Others, won't you come? Your buddy, won't you come? Teenager, young couple, family member, churchgoer, won't you come? Anybody else, won't you come? Won't you come? Amen. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for these that have come to Christ. Father, I thank you so much for their lives and the direction and destiny of their lives and what you're going to do through them. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that they'll understand and get to know through your word, through this church, that God that was willing to sacrifice his only son for them so that their lives could be changed. That was willing to send his only boy to heaven, to hell, so they could go to heaven. And Father, I thank you for their lives and what direction you're going to do in their lives. And we give you the glory and honor for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you celebrate these people with me? Write down this list. I want you to do it right here. And then just follow Scott and some others. They're going to encourage you all and pray with you all. Thank you, guys.
Amen.
Hey, this Sunday, this coming Sunday, week from today, is our all-you-can-eat barbecue Sunday. It's an annual event we did. Phenomenal chicken, phenomenal sausage, incredible, amazing. You'll not want to miss being here next Sunday for barbecue Sunday. Also, bring a friend with you, as people do. And thank you all for braving the rain. Also, we got a lot of different things happening in the life of our church. A lot of life groups have just kicked off. So if you want to start one of our life groups, we'd encourage you to participate and be a part of them. CR starts tonight at 5 o'clock in Building C. You'll not want to miss being part of that. Hey, if you brought a first-time guest or you are a first-time guest, I'm so thankful that you're here. I'd love to meet you. I'm going to be out that door in just a couple minutes, but I'll just say this to you. That, listen, it takes several weeks of coming to anything to know whether this is the place for you. And so I'd encourage you to come back next Sunday. Find out what God is doing here. Find out about our Feed the City events that are coming up, where we feed hundreds and hundreds of people. Find out about what our Kids City program and our children's program, preschool program, and student program is all about. Find out what our church is all about. And we're praying that God would just bring you to the right decision in your life. Hey, thank you so much for being here. Stay with us as we continue worship.
Have a great afternoon. See you next week.